Well, hi again, folks. Here we are for another edition of the Hockey North Show podcast. It is February the 7th. This is Randy Rustin along with Brad Cochimilio. We're broadcasting from our host site, 45 Social, in the Sioux downtown area. The 45 Social, one of our many sponsors. Other ones include major sponsor Little Caesars, with locations in two locations in Sioux, Ontario, Churchill Plaza and Market Mall. Saldan Developments of Sault Ste. Marie, real estate agent John Glavoda of Royal LePage. Buying or selling a home, you can list with John Glavoda, 705-975-2975. Also on board as sponsors of the Hockey North Show podcast are the Croatian Corner, Dr. Kevin Caruso, Northern Superior Brewing, Pinnacle Hockey Management, Roars Jansen and the Wine Barrel, the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, the Sioux Eagles, Blind River Beavers, Espanola Paper Kings, and Sudbury Cubs of the NOJHL, and from the Superior International Junior Hockey League, the Dryden Ice Dogs, and the Cam River Fighting Walleye. Going over some activity from the area over the past weekend, the Sioux College Cougars men's team split a pair of games with the powerful Michigan State Spartans. Two home games were played at Rankin Arena. The Cougar men lost the first game by a score of 6-4, then rebounded to win the second game of the weekend series by a 5-4 margin as Gregory Trudeau Paquette scored the winning goal for the Sioux with just under 1 minute to play in that third period, so giving the Sioux a much-deserved weekend sweep of that series with Michigan State. And Coach Mike Hall and the Cougar men now have a record of 10-12-1 on the American Collegiate Hockey Association season. And of note, they have played some of the toughest competition in the ACHA. And for those games on the weekend, the Sioux had just 13 skaters, 9 forwards, 4 defensemen, and 2 goaltenders. So credit to Mike Hall and the crew for pulling out a weekend split with the Michigan State Spartans. In the NOJHL, pretty much the same situation going on. The Timmins Rock in first place in the East Division. Hearst Lumberjacks not far behind. The Powassan Voodoos in third place. Then you've got the bottom three feeders still fighting for that last playoff spot. Cochrane Crunch, French River Rapids, and Kirkland Lake Gold Miners. On the West Division side, Sudbury Cubs in first place by a fairly comfortable margin. Then it's the Blind River Beavers and the Sioux Thunderbirds battling for second and third. The Espanola Paper Kings in fourth spot have a 7-point lead now over the Sioux Eagles for the fourth and final playoff spot in the West Division. And the Elliott Lake Red Wings in the basement, really nothing has changed there for them. They have not played that well as of late, but still being in last place in the West Division for Elliott Lake, they still have more points than the 4th, 5th, and 6th place teams in the East Division. And as we've mentioned quite a few times in this show, a really bad team is going to make the playoffs in the East Division. That's just the way it is. That's the format, top 4 on each side. A lot of people think it should be the top 8, but that's what the powers to be have decided in the NOJHL, and that's cool. Maybe things will change for next year. In the SIJHL, the Cam River Fighting Walleye still in first place, just ahead of the Dryden Ice Dogs. Dryden has won 7 games in succession. In the Great North Under 18 Hockey League, the Sioux Junior Greyhounds still in first place. They have a record of 20-2, so that team looking to be the class of the league as the regular season sets to wind down in about a month or so. The Timmins Majors and the North Bay U18 Trappers, meanwhile, are vying for second and third place, and the Kapuskasing Flyers are not that far behind. Let's take a break for sponsor identification. A little bit later on in the program, Brad Cochimilio, by the way, will be chatting with Rhianne Chinook. She's the head coach of the women's hockey team at Sioux College. But let's take that break for sponsor identification, and then Brad and I are going to be back to talk about the Sioux Greyhounds and a lot of other things happening in Hockey North Towns. Okay, we'll be back in a minute. And the Hockey North Show is brought to you by our host site, 45 Social in the Sioux downtown. Also, major sponsor Little Caesars with 2 locations in Sioux, Ontario, Churchill Plaza and Market Mall. Saldan Developments of Sault Ste. Marie, real estate agent John Glavoda of Royal LePage. Buying or selling a home, list with John Glavoda, 705-975-2975. The Croatian Corner, located at Bruce and Wellington in the Sioux downtown area. Dr. Kevin Caruso, 264 McNabb Street, again a sponsor of the Hockey North Show podcast. Northern Superior Brewing, fresh local craft beer, support local, support Northern. Pinnacle Hockey Management, Brewers Jansen and the Wine Barrel, located next to the Sault Ste. Marie Museum. The Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, the Sioux Eagles, Blind River Beavers, Espanola Paper Kings and Sudbury Cubs of the NOJHL, and from the Superior International Junior Hockey League, the Cam River Fighting Walleye and the Dryden Ice Dogs. Back here at 45 Social in the Sioux's downtown area, 117 Spring Street, home of a men's clothing store, a barbershop, a nice bar here in the corner, and also Lucy Rowe Clean Beauty. Stop in and see Mike Flamia, Robbie Calvano, Sue Flamia, or Tara Calvano anytime, plus the friendly staff right here at 45 Social, 117 Spring Street in the Sioux's downtown. With us now, Brad Cacciamillo from Sioux Today. Brad, the more things change with the Sioux Greyhounds of the Ontario Hockey League, I guess the more they remain the same. That record, not very impressive. 14-22-12. Ninth place in the Western Conference now, I think 3 points back of the Kitchener Rangers for the eighth and final playoff spot in the Western Conference. And Kitchener does have a couple of games in hand. And boy, there's a lot of negative talk around Houndtown. People can't understand the goaltending situation, who's playing why. People are calling for John Dean, the head coach, to not be back next season. Some ludicrous comments have Kyle Raftus not coming back next year by their demand, but I mean, that's not going to happen unless he wants to leave. He's not going to get fired. John Dean, on the other hand, I mean, who knows what happens? So what's going to happen there? Yep. His contract, is it up?
It's up at the end of this season, and yeah, you know what? I feel like the calls for him to be fired at this point are it's getting overblown, because I mean, I almost feel like, and the team would never say this, the players would obviously never say this, but this is more of what we expected than the way things went earlier in the year, where the team was playing extremely well in some games against some top competition. And admittedly for me, this team is right where I expected them to be, battling for a playoff spot at this point in the season. And, you know, I almost think that, and spoiled is probably the wrong word, but I almost feel like, you know, this city has benefited from the fact that, you know, this team's had some pretty good years over the last, you go back the last 10 years, you know, they've been to a Western Conference final and came close to beating Connor McDavid and going to a league final in 2015. They, you know, got to a league final in 2018 and things were going pretty good. And, you know, they lost to a Hamilton team that, you know, played them extremely well in the final that year. You know, that team last year, that series against Flint, they don't lose that game in overtime here in the Sioux, and who knows the way the rest of that series goes.
Okay, but let's talk about this year's team, because you made a good point, and I'm on board with you on this. There were no high expectations for this year's team from corners of where people do have some semblance of intelligence. There are corners where, of the social media platform, that not to be rude, but if it sounds rude, well, so be it. There are some people out there that it's so obvious they are so uneducated, don't have a clue what they're talking about, and are just looking to attract some kind of attention to what they're saying. Like some of the statements that are going on out there. And then if you sign your name to something, that's fine, but these anonymous posters, whatever, I really don't have time for them. I'm sure John Dean doesn't have time for them either, and I'm sure that Tim Lucchenda and Kyle Raftus don't pay too much attention to them. So we'll just dismiss those notions, but I just had to get that out there.
For sure.
Everyone has an opinion. In my humble estimation, it's always good to have an educated one, and some of these ones are clearly uneducated.
Hey, no argument here. It's a situation where, like you said, this is, when you look at the job that John Dean has done this year, and
like, I'm not crazy about the guy. I don't think he knows how to handle goaltenders, to tell you the truth. And this goes back a couple years ago when he had Bailey Birkin,
for sure,
who came in from the Western Hockey League, and you nicknamed him first before I did, the Croatian sensation, and he was phenomenal. Yep. And then they brought in Nick Malik from the Czech Republic and handed him the job. Nick Malik didn't get the job done, and Bailey Burke never really got his job back. This year with this goaltending, I'm not sure what he's doing with Samuel Ivanov and why Schenkel has been hurt, but then you bring in Landon Miller, and you know what? Let him play. I mean, if you're going to bring him up for the Thunderbirds, sit on the bench.
Sure.
Bring in an AP goalie from somewhere. Let him sit on the bench, whatever. I just don't see John Dean as someone who's proven that he can handle his goaltending, and this is a critical position at any level, especially this league. But you know what? I'm not going to condemn him on that. I mean, I'm just saying that there are a lot of good things John Dean has done in his time with the Greyhounds. I just wonder if you're going to have the nucleus of the team back next year. This is just a thought, not a suggestion. Do you move in a different direction and bring in a different coach, or do you just say, you know what, John Dean rode through a tough season with the team, and he deserves to have his another chance or a continued chance? Because there's one thing Tim Lucanda has shown in his time as the president and governor of the Greyhounds and the majority owner since his dad passed away, is that he doesn't push panic buttons, and he's a pretty loyal guy.
100%. And, you know, when it comes to whether John Dean should or shouldn't be back at the end of his contract, you can make, like you said, you can make valid cases for both.
Yeah.
You know, when I look at the job that he's done this year, and I agree with you, I feel like Landon Miller should have got more opportunities during that stretch that Charlie Schenkel was out. And you know what?
Samuel Ivanov did not play well.
No, for sure. For sure. For every game that Sam Ivanov played well in that stretch, and there were some that he did, you know, there were some nights where he gave up some bad goals where you need, and in positions where you needed a save. You know, so was that mishandled? Yeah, I would say, you know, Landon Miller deserved more of an opportunity, 100%. You know, on the other hand, for a team that wasn't expected to be very good this year, for them to be in a position where, you know, like you said, they're 3-4 points out of a playoff spot at this point. You know, they're in tough, no question about it, from now to the rest of the year, especially with Kitchener having a couple games in. But this is a team that's got a couple games against Kitchener left this year. They've got a couple games against Sudbury. They've got winnable games. They've got a game against Oshawa coming up. I believe they've got a game on the road against Niagara coming up. So there's opportunities for this team to get points. You know, so for them to be in a position, hey, you know what? In that regard, John Dean's definitely, you know, in a position where I almost wonder that, yeah, maybe he has earned the opportunity to take this group where, realistically, you're only guaranteed to lose 3 guys off this roster from next year. You tinker with the roster regardless, and I'm sure Kyle Raftus will look at making, you know, some moves to add some talent to this roster. Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder if you give John Dean the opportunity to say, okay, you know what, you got through a very tough year that was expected. Now let's see what you can do with a team that's got some experience.
You give him a 2-year contract, not a 3, you give him a 2, just again, and you have him on a short leash, and that's the way it is. And I mean, you got to make a change then. You got to make a change. It's just too bad that the Greyhounds this year, they're not in the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League playing in the East Division. They'd be in the playoffs right now ahead of...
And again, with that team, you know, it's a wonder that if they had a Rory Cairns or a Cole McKay, a game-breaking score in addition to a guy like Bryce McConnell-Barr, who's had a great year offensively, Calvin Watson's been good. If you have one extra guy like that, you know, this is a team that's lost, 12 games in shootouts and overtime this year. You add one more guy that can score, maybe you win 3 or 4 of those, and all of a sudden that points difference isn't there, and you're potentially in a playoff spot or a little further up in the standings. And, you know, ifs, ands, and buts, but...
I'd be surprised if they didn't bring him back next year, speaking of John Dean. But so let's take a... break again for sponsor identification right here on the Hockey North Show podcast. And the Hockey North Show is brought to you by our host Site 45 Social in the Sioux downtown. Also, major sponsor Little Caesars with 2 locations in Sioux, Ontario, Churchill Plaza and Market Mall. Sell Down Developments of Sioux St. Marie, real estate agent John Globota of Royal LePage. Buying or selling a home, list with John Globota. 705-975-2975. The Croatian Corner, located at Bruce and Wellington in the Sioux's downtown area. Dr. Kevin Caruso, 264 McNabb Street, again a sponsor of the Hockey North Show podcast. Northern Superior Brewing, fresh local craft beer, support local, support Northern. Pinnacle Hockey Management, Brewers Jansen and the Wine Barrel, located next to the Sault Ste. Marie Museum. The Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, the Sioux Eagles, Blind River Beavers, Espanola Paper Kings and Sudbury Cubs of the NOJHL, and from the Superior International Junior Hockey League, the Cam River Fighting Walleye and the Dryden Ice Dogs. Okay, back here on Hockey North Show podcast, Randy Russin along with Brad Cacciamillo. And before we move over to some Northern Ontario-based hockey, Brad, story came out today that for the next 3 years, I guess that's a long time to be fixing up an arena, but the Hamilton Bulldogs will be moving, relocating, not just for 1 year, but they'll be moving to Brantford and be called the Brantford Bulldogs for the next 3 years. Brantford putting some major renovations into their rink there in that city. And former home to an OHL team, the Brantford Alexanders, who have, to me, have a great history. I mean, they may not have drawn very well when they were members of the OHL. I think, was it 78 to 84 in around there? Anyway, a lot of good players came through Brantford. Bob Probert, to name one. A lot of guys went on to the National Hockey League from the Brantford Alexanders. But anyway, they're moving from Hamilton to Brantford, effective next season. They'll be there for 3 years, they say. What I didn't realize, I was reading today in the Hamilton Spectator, I think it was, is that most of the players that live in play for the Bulldogs, they live in, I think it said Ancaster, and go to school there. And it's only 20 minutes from Ancaster to Brantford. And most of the fans are from Hamilton Mountain, which is only a half an hour from to Brantford. So really, they're not moving that far. It'd be like moving the Greyhounds to Echo Bay, I guess. It's not very far.
When you look at it, it's really a smart move, right? Yeah. It's all things considered, you know, you take in those factors, that's probably the perfect spot for that team to go. And
if they draw well there in Brantford, you watch, that team will stay.
And that's exactly where I was going with that, too, is my gut feeling is I would not be shocked if that team ends up in Brantford full-time after this. And, you know, part of it is because, you know, again, it's a good fit. You could still draw the people from Hamilton that were there with you through the stretch while the team, after the team had moved from Belleville to Hamilton. You're adding the people in from Brantford who may not be going to games in Hamilton. And you're in a situation where you lose the headaches of dealing with Hamilton City Council. Oh, because, God, let's face it, like, I feel for the Hamilton Bulldogs staff and ownership. Like, Michael Anlauer, I'm surprised that guy hasn't been pulling his hair out because of City Council in that city. I mean, it's just been an absolute disaster.
And if you read between the lines of what he is saying and has said, there's no love lost between him and the city of Hamilton and city council. He said a while back, he said, they told us that the arena renovations were going to take a year or whatever. He says, now it's three.
Yeah.
And he said in the article I read today, it would be nice to go to a place where they want us. So I wouldn't be surprised. I think the onus is going to be on the city of Brantford now.
Yep.
If the fans support them, if they get the corporate sponsorship, when those 3 years are up, the owner just might say, bye-bye, Hamilton. We're going to stay in Brantford.
And knowing the way Mike Landlauer is, and we're seeing a lot more of it now, it wouldn't shock me for them to say, okay, bye-bye, Hamilton, and be willing to put in money to help with a new facility.
Well, he hasn't been shy with spending his money over the years. He's a good owner, that guy.
Yep, absolutely. The city of Hamilton was fortunate to have a guy owning that franchise like Mike Landlauer. I mean, Every organization in that league would love to have an owner. And you know what, like, we've talked well of Tim Lucenda before as well, and you know, Tim's definitely one of the good guys. And you know, Michael Anlauer, when it comes to caring about an organization and, you know, wanting what's best for a team and fighting for that organization, like, Michael Anlauer, there's no question, is up near the top of the list in that group.
And I read today in the same article, they said they're going to be putting, I think it's $7 million worth of renovations into the Brantford Civic Center. The city's putting in $3 million. he's putting in $4 million of his own money. I mean, that guy's obviously got deep pockets, and it's.
But still, that's like you say. At the end of the day, that's still a ton of money.
He should be under no responsibility to do anything, but he is. So I like that that guy.
Yeah, I'm definitely a fan of the move. Definitely a fan of the setup, and definitely looking forward to. Seeing how this plays out, and like I said, I'm with you. I feel like it's going to end up with the team staying put in Brantford.
Okay, we're going to let you prepare for your interview with Breanne Chinook very shortly, Brad. The Sioux College Cougars men's team, or women's team, with a record of 20-0. Yeah. So that's be looking forward to hearing what you and her have to talk about. Let's move over to the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League. The Sioux Thunderbirds playing very well. With the Blind River Beavers, that's a jockeying for positions there for number two and number three. And to me, if there's a surprise team in the NOJHL this season, especially on the west side, it's the Espanola Paper Kings. They won, 13 games all of last year. I think they've won 21 now?
Yeah, 21 or 22, 22. I think I read when I looked today.
They're getting this amazing production from Lucas Signoretti, a former Ontario Hockey League draft pick of the Erie Otters. He's averaging 2 points a game. Jason Rapsevich, he's the owner of the team. He coaches the team. They've got good use of their affiliate players, including Colson Bella from the Sioux and Nick Marson from the Sioux, who played for the Sudbury Nickel Capitals. And that has the make. You don't want to see the Sioux Eagles and that great organization with Bruno Raganolo and Doug LaPrade miss the playoffs. But if they do and Espanola gets in there, I mean, that's a really feel-good story.
Yeah, absolutely. And it probably would make for a good first-round series,
with
too,
Sudbury.
Right?
With Sudbury. They just beat Sudbury, too. Espanola.
Yeah, and you've got that bit of a rivalry there. And, you know, again, it would be, you know, as reporters, it's almost perfect for guys like us because, you know, the two meetings would be Sudbury and Espanola. Again, you've got the geographical rivalry,
and then
Blind River and the Sioux, you know, and you've got those games where everything's been close. But yeah, it's definitely a great story watching Espanola and how things have gone for them this year. And, you know, to say it's a feel-good story is absolutely, you know, dead on. It might even be an understatement just considering how well things have gone. And it's great for the league to have, you know, those small market teams like the Blind Rivers and the Espanolas having years that they're having to keep the league going and keep the interest on the league for sure.
Great North Under 18 Hockey League. Sioux Junior Greyhounds still in the first place with a record of 20-2. Some good players in that team that are being projected as draft picks at the upcoming Ontario Hockey League priority selections. I don't think you're going to get anybody going in the top three. Maybe even not the top four, but from what I'm told, rounds 5 through 7, 8, 9, 10 could be flush of players from the Great North League, including league scoring leader Hudson Chitteroni from the Sioux, Brendan Cook from the Sioux. He's a forward. He's from Thessalon. They've got a good young defenseman in Camden O'Neill, and those are three that are pretty surefire draft picks, in my opinion, those three guys.
Yeah, and it's great to see the development of, of guys, in, especially in the Sioux, because there was that stretch, and I know we've talked a little bit about it on the show before, where there was that stretch where, you know, things didn't look good. I mean, as far as, you know, the city sending players on to higher levels, and it's good to see you go back to the Jack Mateer, Tyler Dunbar year where they got drafted. Jack goes to the OHL, Tyler goes into the States and winds up getting a D1 commitment. And kind of from then, we've seen a little bit of a progression. And I think now we're getting to that point where we're seeing the development of a lot of the groups coming up that once they get to the U18 level, they're in a good position where you could start pushing these guys into, you know, the NOJHL to get some junior experience and pushing them and getting them ready for whether it's major junior or junior A after they're done. It's the development's been really good. And like you said, it's going to be exciting to see, you know, just how many guys, you know, from the league as a whole are going to end up going in the draft.
We've got to put in a plug for a goalie from the Sioux, Nick Marson, who plays for the Sudbury Nickel Capitals. I have to laugh sometimes, but there are scouts out there who are willing to overlook size, like Mark Sedell, who you and I both know for the Barrie Colts. He's got his own scouting bureau, and then you talk to different people, and I think they must just read things, not even pay any attention to maybe watching a game, because Sudbury's other goalie is an 08, Mateo Bettis. He's an underage playing in the league this year, where the 07 group is the draft group for this year, Fisher's OHL draft, and I read somewhere that someone was comparing the two after a story I wrote and said, oh yeah, well, you know what though, Mateo Bettis has the big size over Nick Marson. So Mateo Bettis is 6 feet tall and Nick Marson's 5'10".
Yeah.
That's 2 inches. I mean. And Nick Marson, it's funny, he's born in 07, December 16th, I think.
Yeah.
Mateo Bettis is born in 08, March 2nd. So, yeah, so one guy is 2 months older than the other. And you know what? You can grow a couple inches. Like, I think at the beginning
of the year,
at the beginning of the year, Marson was 5'7". Now he's 5'10".
Yeah.
And hey, just
typical teenage growth spurt, right?
But you know what? Someone looks at a stat and says, oh, he's too small.
Yeah. And that's the unfortunate thing, right? I think we've, you know, I say we as, you know, even in the media and you know, scouts, it's, we put that emphasis on size, and I feel like...
Make sure you clarify media when you're talking about the Sioux anyway, because
yeah.
it's you and I and Gord Anderson and nobody else.
Yeah, so no, I hear you. It's we're putting a better emphasis on...
You can look up the dictionary, look under the word imposter. Okay, go ahead.
We're getting better at taking the size questions out of the equation, but we're nowhere near where we should be in that regard. And this is a perfect example where people see the 6 foot and they've automatically got that idea that, you know, this kid is head and shoulders above a lot of guys, where, you know, if a kid's 6 foot and 180 pounds and another kid's 5'8 and 175, is it really that big of a difference? For me, it's not. And it's unfortunate that we see people where it's, you know, whether it's scouts or anybody, that, you know, they make that big a deal because a kid's 6 foot and, you know, whatever weight.
I'm obviously not going to mention a name, but I was watching some of the games. I've watched quite a few games in the Great North League. And there's a player, and he's got good size, whatever, a defenseman. And someone said to me, oh, have you seen so-and-so play up there? Oh, yeah, I've seen him play, whatever, multiple times. What do you think about him? And I just said, oh, you know, whatever. He said, well, he's big and he's strong. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, but he's stupid.
Yeah.
He coughs up the puck all the time.
Yeah.
You can tell the hockey IQ is probably the equivalent on the number on his back. And some people just look at size.
Yeah.
I mean, it just gets me.
And that's the thing. And for me, I would always say, if you give
By
me
By the
a-
way, our producer, some of the things I say, Steven Jansen, he says that he wishes to disavow any knowledge of my comments.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure we've been getting that a little bit on today's show, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
I mean, we're podcast form, right? We can go a little further with
the license
now.
Is at his name.
Yeah. You know, and in a situation like that, if you have a kid going into, say, the OHL draft, and he's, you know, 6 foot, 180 pounds, and you have, you know, all things being equal with a kid who's 5'10 and maybe a little, you know, a little lighter, say even 170, if they're the exact same player and you're getting the same skill set and you've got the same projection for both players, yeah, go ahead and take the kid who's 6 foot, 180 pounds. Yeah. But if the kid who's 5'10 and 170 is a little more skilled, fits your system a little better, don't take the kid that's bigger just because he's bigger.
Yeah.
You know, take the kid that's smaller. You know, you never know when you're going to get that growth spurt. It's size is overrated in a lot of scenarios.
The only area, in my estimation, where size means something is if I'm at a bar and someone says, do you want a large draft or a small? I say, I want a large one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why pay for a small one? You can get a whole
large.
What am I going to do with that?
Right? Yeah, the size argument is blown way out of proportion.
Yeah.
And we see it a lot, to go back to like the Greyhound scenarios. We see it a lot with the Greyhounds. And, you know, have they missed on some smaller guys in terms of, you know, maybe players not paying out? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Where you could take a kid that maybe was a little bigger with the scheme skill set. Absolutely. Yeah, but
on that note, I don't think we can overall question Kyle Raftus's draft history. He's got players late. He may have more late round picks make it than the average general manager.
Absolutely. For the misses that he may have earlier in a draft, he's definitely made up for them with some of the hits he's got later in the draft.
I think when it comes to the draft, the and for seeing the whole picture too, I think the general manager, in my estimation, that does his homework better than anyone and gets the players from Northern Ontario too, is Dave Drinkle with Saginaw.
100%. Yeah, Dave
Drinkle. To me, he's the best general manager in the OHL.
Yeah, the Saginaw Spirit have done an absolute unbelievable job drafting. You know, I would say since Dave Drinkle's come into the league, absolutely. He's done, you know, it's. And you'd be hard-pressed to question
anything.
He
loves the Northern Ontario boys.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, you talk about hitting it out of the park with a kid like Caleb Mangone,
yeah.
Right? And, you know, you take him early, and the thing is, like, you know, he sees that, you know, this is a kid who missed, like, you know, people missed in his initial draft year,
yeah.
And Dave Drinkle said, I'm not letting this kid pass again. Yeah. And, you know, talk about hitting a home run. The kid's played outstanding for the last 2 years.
Yeah, okay, Brad, let's wrap up this segment of the show, and let's take a break for sponsor identification. And while we're at it, I do want to thank our producers on the show, because sometimes I forget. Steven Jensen does a great job, and so does Mary Desimone. And Steven, he's always, whenever I open my mouth, I always notice he's always wringing his hands. I'm not sure.
It seems like he's almost a little worried about what's going to come out of your mouth. I mean, I've been around the show enough. I know what to expect. So it's just like,
well, you know what?
I just wait for it.
I'm going to be honest. Sometimes when I open my mouth, I'm worried about what's going to come out of it. So coming up next, Brad Cochimilli was going to be talking with Brianne Chinook, the head coach of the Sioux College Cougars women's hockey team, right here on the Hockey North Show podcast. And the Hockey North Show was brought to you by our host, Site 45 Social in the Sioux downtown. Also, major sponsor, Little Caesars, with two locations in Sioux, Ontario, Churchill Plaza and Market Mall. Seldon Developments of Sioux St. Marie. Real estate agent, John Globota of Royal LePage. Buying or selling a home, list with John Globota. 705-975-2975. The Croatian Corner, located at Bruce and Wellington in the Sioux downtown area. Dr. Kevin Caruso. 264 McNabb Street, again a sponsor of the Hockey North Show podcast. Northern Superior Brewing, fresh local craft beer, support local, support Northern. Pinnacle Hockey Management, Brewers Jansen and the Wine Barrel, located next to the Sioux St. Marie Museum. The Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, the Sioux Eagles, Blind River Beavers, Espanola Paper Kings and Sudbury Cubs of the NOJHL, and from the Superior International Junior Hockey League, the Cam River Fighting Walleye, and the Dryden Ice Dogs.
Joining us now on the Hockey North Show podcast is Sioux College women's hockey coach, Brianne Chinook. Brianne, thanks for jumping on. We appreciate you taking some time today to chat and discuss the team.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
First thing, let's talk about the team itself. Obviously, you guys are having an outstanding year. You know, what's been kind of the reason, or, you know, what's kind of brought you the success you've had this year? What's kind of led to the run that that your team has been on here at Sioux College this year?
I think for the most part, our team is very motivated, and they came into the new season having done so well at Nationals last year and making it so close to getting to the semifinals. Our returning players were motivated and very driven to be in the situation we are in right now. And that helped all of our first-year players to buy into the systems that we as coaches and returning players had set out for the team.
And let's talk about the returning group. Obviously, you mentioned the motivation factor from last year, and, you know, having the year that you did and, you know, getting so close at Nationals to getting a playoff spot. What has that returning group meant to your team this year?
It's become one of the main factors for our success. So we have our captain; she's in her final year, so no one's more driven than her to finish off her career at Sioux College with a national championship. And then we have two of our assistant captains who are not only leading in the dressing room and as leaders for our team, but they're also one Marie-Pierre Lacour. She's leading the entire league in points, and Emily is a few spots behind her as well. So they're not only showing their leadership off the ice, but they're getting the job done. They're finding the net and making good plays for the rest of the team to capitalize on.
And the newcomers, you know, the younger group on this team, and I know you and I have talked about it before, but you've obviously got a, you know, a real good group. And I know prior to the year, you were telling me about how, you know, excited you guys were to have them jump in with this veteran group that you have. You know, maybe take me through just, you know, what that young group, what those first years have done for the program in terms of helping you get to where you are and helping kind of maintain that success level and trying to win a national championship.
Well, our recruiting was very successful after last year. So majority of the girls that came in for their first season were the top players on their U18 AA teams. So these players were already strong players. They were leaders from their previous teams. So they were able to come in, and there wasn't that much of a development difference. And so it was really nice to see all of the players gel so quickly. Some of the players had previously played with our returning players, which made it that much easier. And those that are from out of town, they have been on teams in Brampton and Belleville, where the competition, there's more players to choose from. So they had already been a part of teams where the tryout process was very vigorous, and making the lineup every weekend was something that they had to work for. So it gave us a competitiveness, not only in games, but also in practice, for everyone to kind of show up and do their job as a teammate.
And you've touched on it a little bit, but maybe who are some of the players, both veterans and some of the new players, who are some that have really stood out for you and kind of really helped you guys get to this point where you've won 20 games going into regionals coming up here later this month?
I mean, it's really easy for me to go through the list on the ACHA leading scores right now, because we have so many on there. We have MP Lacour, we have Jasmine Grollo, we have Brooke Brazzo. She's one of our rookies, and she's leading the rookies in points right now. Megan Daly, our captain, Olivia Barsanti. But then you also have to recognize the players that might not be on the game sheet as much, but they're the ones that are doing so much, whether it's on the ice or on the bench or in the dressing room. You have players like Jaden Neveu, who has really stepped up as a leader, Amy Carlson, Emily Brunette. I mean, I think I could probably say the entire team at this point. And it's completely true, because again, we have such a special team where everyone steps up. They know their role, and they are all looking to achieve even more than when they first came in as a player. They all want more ice time. They all want to be the go-to person on the power play or on an overtime situation. And that's what we want. That's what we love hearing as coaches, is them being driven enough, not complaining about ice time, but what do I need to work on to be that person? So, you know, that's a dream for coaches, and it's really important for us to see this come out of all of our players going into playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And when you look back at this season and the way things have gone, what are some of the biggest factors to the success of this team? What are some of the things that have gotten your team to where it is now, getting ready for regionals?
Well, our goals for definitely help us out with 106 goals for, and then only having 19 goals against. So our goaltending, we have two very strong goalies that we're able to depend on. And that makes all the difference, because you can have a really strong offensive team, but if goals are going in, it doesn't really help with the momentum of the game. So that's been really important for us, and it's evident even in the hard games that we faced against Assiniboine Community College and Dakota College. So that's when you really get to see your goaltenders in certain games when we're winning 19-0 and they're only getting 5, 6, 7 shots a game. It's a little bit more difficult for our goalies, and they're receiving shots too far and few in between. So in games where they are getting their 30 shots on net and they're still able to record a shutout or have one goal against, you know, that's really important heading into playoffs and evidently nationals.
And maybe one final thing, you've got the regionals coming up at the end of the month, the last weekend of the month. What kind of things are you looking at for your team to be successful? What kind of things do you guys need to do to be successful at regionals at the end of the month?
This is definitely our most important weekend of the year so far, because we are heading in as the number one team. We have the target on our back. Everyone wants to be the team to hand us our first loss of the season. Right. And we need to finish in first place in order for us to be in a good pool and lead a pool at nationals. So it all comes down to regionals right now, and that's going to be the determining factor where we end up at nationals. So making sure that everyone focuses on the games at hand. Some of the teams, we played them early on in the season, and a lot of teams can change in a positive way as they have more games against teams. So we can't look at our games against them and what the scores were, because we can face a completely different team, and we don't want to be overly confident. We're a confident team, and you do want to have confidence when you're playing, but as soon as you take it a little bit too far, you might forget about just how important the games are, and you know, the team that scores the most is going to win. So you need to be able to get your shots in the net instead of just getting as many shots possible.
Right. Well, hey, Brian, that's awesome. We appreciate you jumping on the show this week, and we certainly look forward to having you on again to discuss the team and look forward to seeing how you guys do at regionals and see where things go from there.
Yes. Well, thank you again for having me.
Well, that'll do it for this week's episode of the Hockey North Show podcast. For myself, Randy Russin, our producers, Mary and Steven, today's guests, all of our sponsors, thanks so much for tuning in, and we look forward to having you join us again next week.